Events this week, tragic events this week in Pakistan, are calling into question the stability of that South Asian nation more than normally is the case. On Monday, violence broke out in Karachi, Pakistan's largest city, after the assassination of a senior politician. Suicide bomber killed four people and injured nearly a dozen others yesterday in Peshawar. And that's believed to be violence taking advantage of the flooding that's taking place, the worst flooding in 80 years in Pakistan. The U.S. is leading the effort to contribute aid to Pakistan. Here's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton speaking yesterday.
U.S. humanitarian relief experts have been deployed to the field. U.S. helicopters have already airlifted hundreds of people out of danger and delivered critical supplies.
But is it enough? Is anything enough in dealing with this situation, an unprecedented situation in Pakistan? Issam Ahmed, a reporter for the Christian Science Monitor, has been helping us understand what's going on in Pakistan all week long, joins us from Lahore. Issam, what's the latest this morning?
Well, the latest is that the flooding is continuing to spread into Pakistan's heartland province of Punjab and also further down south in Sindh. Whereas earlier the northwest was most affected. And this is important because Punjab is the breadbasket of the country and where most of the agricultural produce comes from. There are certain UN estimates now that 80% of the country's food stock has been destroyed, and the number of people now affected by the flooding stands at 4 million. So the disaster is continuing to grow in proportions.
4 million, that's double 2 million, which at the beginning of the week we were saying was the number of people affected. So Issam Ahmed there, reporter for the Christian Science Monitor, stay with us, reporting that 80% of the food stocks in Pakistan are destroyed. There's already a food crisis in Pakistan. There's certainly a political and military crisis in Pakistan. Michelle Fonzo joins us. She's a project leader for the World Policy Institute, a think tank that looks at foreign policy issues. She's here in the studio. Michelle, how does this complicate the U.S.-Pakistan relationship? And we've been talking all week that if the U.S. takes too much of a role in helping, it actually inflames a sense of instability in that Pakistan is not independent. Pakistan can't deal with its own problems in its own way. What do you think the U.S. should be doing here?
I think the U.S. should be doing what it is doing right now. I think what's very important from our side is that we support the Pakistani national government in their efforts in the rescue, which we are doing. As has been reported as of yesterday, we're supporting with $10 million. Air, boat, and expandable bridges are being sent over. This is aiding in the effort of the government to support their people in a time of need. Working with them as a partner is really what our role is in this, not to come in and seem like we're taking over, which sometimes it appears. This was an issue in Hurricane Nargis in Myanmar, where we arrived and that government had not yet invited us in. Pakistan has officially invited overseas assistance in this, and we are responding.
And indeed, that was the case in the earthquake in Karachi, where the U.S. Played a lead role in the relief effort there.
Correct.
Issam Ahmed, the credibility of the national government in Pakistan bears on the issue that's been all over the news in Pakistan, that the president, President Zardari, was actually enshrined in a 5-star hotel in London during much of this crisis. What's going on today?
Yeah, no, exactly. He was in Paris and now he's in London, and that's obviously inflaming a lot of opinion here, because while he's enjoying himself, his country's flooding, and he's staying on, I believe, until Saturday, because he's brought his son along with him, Bilal Bhutto Zardari, and he's going to launch his political career there in London. So he hasn't returned to the country. He's still out there and he's still maneuvering for his own son, and I think this could really, turn around and bite him in the back. It's hard to see how things could get worse with him. His popularity ratings are already at an all-time low. He's popularly known in the country as Mr. 10%, which is a reference to corruption allegations dating back to the 1990s.
Mr. 10%, that's Issam Ahmed, reporter for the Christian Science Monitor. Bearing that in mind, Michelle Fonzo, I mean, is the U.S. backing the wrong candidate here? I mean, is the credibility of the Pakistani government, that bears on who we should be supporting here?
I think what's very important is a show of solidarity with the Pakistani people, not just one individual who may be the president at the moment. I do think it would be beneficial to everybody if there was a show of national solidarity by Mr. Zardari to return to Islamabad. And I'd like to make a point to that.
Sure.
The absence of state leadership creates a vacuum for other people to fill. I think as far as the U.S., there is obviously a humanitarian reason for us to be assisting Pakistan. There's also a political reason for us to be assisting Pakistan right now and to be doing it with some speed. The Northwest Territories, which are the most hard hit, is also the haven for most of the insurgent movement in Pakistan, including insurgents that are going into Afghanistan and fighting U.S. and coalition troops. The way insurgents work, if we don't and the Pakistani government doesn't show up and support the people, they will. And that's how insurgent troops gain support and solidarity among a population. It's very important that we and the Pakistani government show who's in control.
Michelle Fonzo is a project leader for the World Policy Institute, a think tank that looks at issues. We're dealing with the situation in Pakistan right now. Issam Ahmed, before we go, what is the sense of the political vacuum in Pakistan right now? And can the U.S. help to fill it?
Well, I wouldn't say there's a vacuum entirely, because the prime minister, who's from the same party as Zardari, Yusuf Raza Gilani, he has been out and he's been filling that role. And in the past, you've seen some sort of tension playing out between the prime minister and the president, and, you know, whisperings within the halls of power that the prime minister is vying for a greater role. And in fact, the president did cede a number of powers recently in a historic a constitutional amendment to the prime minister. So I think that it's not entirely a political vacuum, but the president's personal reputation will take more of a battering.
Indeed. Issam Ahmed, reporter for the Christian Science Monitor, and Michelle Fonzo, project leader for the World Policy Institute, taking soundings on the stability in Pakistan. 1,500 dead from the flooding, 80% of the food stocks destroyed, 4 million people affected. Thanks to both of you.